Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our listeners all over the world, and a very warm welcome. This is John Campbell introducing Miracle Hour on BBS Radio, and it's always a pleasure to share with you in this hour. And I was thinking about the show tonight, and, you know, a lot of people kind of ask me, you know, who are sort of just starting to get the sense that there is something more to their life, and that what I think is what happens at the awakening progress. A lot of people ask me what is spirituality and what is the spiritual life, and you know, it's interesting because so often I've heard people talk about this person's on a spiritual path and that person's on a spiritual path and this one isn't on a spiritual path, and when I got on the spiritual path. And I mean, I used to say those things myself, and it's interesting because what I've come to understand really is that we're all on a spiritual path, whether we know it or not, because we are spiritual beings having human experiences, not the other way around. And what I've come to understand is that's the same for everyone, that it's a continuous path that we're on, a spiritual path. And when people ask me, you know, what is spirituality? It's an interesting question because, you know, I don't know anybody that gets taught this at high school or anything. But I come to think of it as the awakening and understanding of our essence, of our true selves, and the fact that we are all one. We are all connected at the level of mind, at the level of spirit. We are all united. And that we come into these bodies for the purpose of learning. And the Course in Miracles, of course, Jesus, when he dictated the work to Dr. Helen Schuckman, really did it in order to correct the misperceptions that had been made about his real teachings. And the whole work is centered around this understanding that we are all one. And that the way to get to experience this oneness, this awakening to oneness, is the act of forgiveness. And of Course in Miracles, the kind of forgiveness that of Course in Miracles encourages and teaches as the tool to enlightenment or atonement, is quantum forgiveness. They call it quantum forgiveness. And by that, it's the difference between Newtonian forgiveness, if you like, which is based on, well, you know, you did this to me, or this, you did that to me, or and I forgive you. But it still kind of makes me a little bit better, superior to you, but, you know, I'm going to forgive you anyway. Whereas the Course in Miracles forgiveness, the quantum forgiveness, it's a forgiveness for the mistake that we both made to believe that we ever separated from our source. So it's based on the understanding that nothing really happened, that everything in the physical world is a projection of our own unconscious guilt. And this is really the whole basis of the teachings of the Course. And sometimes there are even misunderstandings about what the Course means. But one of the things that has helped me personally understand the Course was the book The Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard, which a lot of people have found has either taken them to the Course for the first time or has actually got them to return to the Course, which was the case that I experienced. I'd already had the Course for a number of years, didn't really understand it, didn't really feel it was very easy to get into, and then when I found The Disappearance of the Universe, that was an amazing awakening for me, because it explains the workings of the Course, it explains the meaning of the Course in very clear terms, through a three-way dialogue between the author Gary Renard and the two ascended masters, which appeared on his sofa one day and who kept visiting him over a period of 11 years. And it's a book which is, I mean, it really has rocketed around the world. You know, I think it's already been translated into about 7 different languages, 8 different languages. And for anybody who's listening who is interested in A Course in Miracles or understanding what it's about, the Disciplines of the Universe is a great place to go to get a clearer picture of what the Course really means. Because the thing about this work is that it is a simple spiritual practice, but having said that, it's certainly not easy. You know, its simplicity, I think, is what makes it so challenging for people. Because nothing about it is talking about anything which is at the level of form. It doesn't even recognize form. You know, it time and time again, it reiterates that form is just the projection of our mind, you know, of our ego mind. And that who we really are is spirit, and everyone is the same, connected and unified. And this quantum forgiveness is a tool in order to get to that point. And the claims it makes, and I totally am happy to acknowledge that, is that the more we keep practicing quantum forgiveness in every moment, you know, forgiving everything, every person, everything that seems to disturb our sense of peace is a forgiveness lesson. So it's very challenging, you know. I mean, you can think, oh, you've forgiven all these different people in your life, you know, your parents or your ex-spouses or ex-partners or children or whatever. But then you start getting into realizing that it can't stop there. It's got to be the person at the gas station that's a little bit rough with you, or the person that jumped the light and caused you to have to put on your brakes, and all these little tiny things that can disturb our sense of peace all become forgiveness opportunities. And, you know, how many of us, I mean, one of the areas where I really have to do this work now is, you know, where I find myself becoming judging, you know, government leaders or the authorities, the education system, which I talk a lot about. And it's a subtle thing, because yes, we, you know, that's what we're here for, is to forgive all these things because they're not real. But at the same time, we think they're real, so that we're going through life with this illusory dream going on. And I've found that one of the things which is a great barometer to how well I'm doing with my forgiveness is how I'm feeling. Because certainly what happens is the more of these forgiveness lessons and practices that I carry out, I don't have to worry about what's going to be happening, because the Holy Spirit, using the Course terminology, will do the work. And I might think there's nothing happening. There may not appear to be any changes. You know, it's like that old analogy with the onion, you know, the peeling the onion. You take off one layer and it still looks like an onion. Take off another layer and it still looks like an onion. Take off another layer and it still looks like an onion. And if you keep on taking the layers off, however, eventually there won't be an onion. It'll be gone, you know. And that's how the Course is apparently tends to work. And eventually, you know, we'll keep coming back into the body to reenact different scenarios with people that we hadn't completed with, or, you know, just really uncovering layers and layers of this unconscious guilt until it's all gone, and then there's no need for us to return, and we stay in spirit. So that's basically, in a simplified way, the teaching of the Course. And the fact that everyone is spirit, there is no exception to the rule, and that's where the work, of course, is challenging, because it means there can be no exceptions. There can be no exceptions. So all the people who you think are dark people, or the forces that are dark forces, and the Course actually teaches that none of that's real. So it's a very challenging spiritual practice, which even challenges a lot of what we call traditional New Age beliefs, you know, because it's saying that, well, none of it's real, you know. so and that's why I think it's the actual philosophy behind it, it's important, but not as important as actually doing the lessons. You could have somebody you know, reading the text and doing the lessons on a daily basis. However, if they're not practicing the quantum forgiveness lessons, they're not really getting the course. So that's basically one of the main philosophy underpinning the Course in Miracles. And really what it's teaching is that we are all innocent and we're all beings of love. And that our only job here, while we're in a body, is to practice forgiveness and to get in touch with that innocence in ourselves. And one of the things I've noticed about, you know, living a spiritual life is I'm continually being pushed and edged forward to be true to my heart's desire. So in other words, any time that I'm doing something which is not in alignment with my heart, whether it be in the workplace, in our choice of career or in relationships or whatever, the spirit is going to keep pushing me and nudging me and making life more and more difficult in that area until I absolutely follow my heart. And that's what, of course, is a very challenging thing when, you know, a lot of people say to me, you know, people who I do coaching with, they say, you know, I'm starting to get a sense that there's something more to life than this, and I'm starting to feel that I'm no longer, you know, being fulfilled in my job or in this relationship. And it can be a scary time because traditionally we're conditioned to believe that we have to do this and we have to, you know, study these lessons and so on, and then we have to pass exams to be any good, and then we have to follow, you know, a career that's going to pay the mortgage and all those kind of things, which, of course, that does have to happen. But I've come to understand not at the expense of being true to ourselves. So it's a massive thing when people do make changes in their lives, and, you know, it's an important time where they need support, and the more support they can get, the less challenging it can be. So whether it be, you know, leaving an incompatible relationship or an unnourishing relationship, or leaving a line of work to start up to do something that's really in alignment with your soul, takes a lot of courage, an immense amount of courage. And I really honour people that do that and start to live a life true to themselves. So on that subject, it's with great pleasure tonight that I'm going to introduce you to two wonderful women who did exactly what I've just been talking about. And interestingly, they started up something. I'm talking about quantum forgiveness. And they started up a healing center, a holistic healing center called Quantum Bodyworks. And it's a privilege to have Jen and Lisa on the show tonight to share with you, and I'm particularly grateful because my beautiful wife, who some of you have heard on the show, she's stood in me a couple of times on the show, and she's an angel of love, and I'm really pleased that she's found her way into this organization, and she does her piece to help them get this fantastic project off the ground. So it's a great pleasure to welcome you, Jen and Lisa, and on there. And I hope you can hear me okay. And can you hear me there?
We can. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Hi.
So now I'm not going to be knowing which one's Jen and which one's Lisa, but that's okay. you can introduce yourself. What I'd like to do, if I may, is to invite one of you first, and you can take turns, just to explain a little bit, having heard what I've talked about, you know, people waking up to what they really want to do. Jen, maybe you could start. I've just taken that right up there, so I've taken the plunge there. Tell me a little bit, Jen, about what happened in your life, what made you do, you know, make a change in your life. Tell us about the change, what you used to do, and you know, your connection to spirit as a child. Did you grow up in a in a very spiritual family, or were they open, or were they religious, traditional religion? So it's what I do with all my guests, to get a feel of where their path took them.
Okay. Well, I actually grew up in a wilderness situation. So,
you know, what was that? I didn't hear that.
In a wilderness?
A wilderness? Wow.
One of the few people that you interview that actually grew up in a wilderness. So where I grew up in kind of the southeast corner of B.C., and at that time there was, you know, my mom and dad lived in a cabin, and I had an older brother, and really we just grew up in the woods, in the forest, and I did have relatives around, but not much, you know.
Yeah.
So coming from that, you know, up until, you know, I always knew, I think of myself as a knower. I've just always kind of known things but not understood what I knew.
Right, and right. So like a claircognizance, I think they call it, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, and you learn from life, and you go along and you recognize, you know, certain truths, and you're guided back and forth. And really the whole, the biggest change of, I call it a kind of a awakening, was just before the year 2000, and it just became, you know, it was growing a lot, but at that point it was huge. It was monumental, and people came into my lives, and they were like, I think of them as keys, and they opened doors, and whether I was ready or not, I went through them, and I learned so much about the spiritual side, about you know, that quantum side, the energetic side, and oddly enough, sorry, I just interrupt me at any time, but oddly enough, at that time, I did own a sawmill, and I laugh because I think it's quite genetic, because it was, you know, five generations in my father's side, and not that I was ever looking to own a sawmill, but I did have one, and it was a wonderful business.
Where was this, Jen? Where was the sawmill?
This, at this point, was just north of Kamloops in a small town called Barrier, and it was a
Is that in BC?
Yeah, in BC. And my family all laughed when I ended up buying this mill, because I had quite moved far away from them and still ended up doing kind of the family business. And it provided me lots of time to think and deal with things that were coming into my life and the changes. And I felt these changes coming, and I tried to you know, prepare myself and listen. And it's kind of an odd story, but I knew I was moving towards the coast, and things were happening to guide me in that direction. I didn't quite understand why, of course, but you know, I just realized I had a big farm, and I knew I needed to sell the farm and move, you know, into something smaller, easier to do. And so I did that, and then in this area, we had in 2003 was a terrible forest fire year for BC, and the town of Barrier didn't burn in the forest fire, but it was, the whole area was devastated by forest fire. And I had driven basically for a holiday to come to the coast here. I'd driven through the beginning of this forest fire and never went home. And that was the end of my business and basically the end of my life in that area. And I just kept...
Jen, you mean the forest fire burned? Did it burn down your business, or...?
It didn't burn my business. It burned all my clients and devastated the whole economy of that area.
Wow.
So, and it burned for so long that there was evacuation notice for basically a month. So they kind of gave me a month to find, you know, my footings here at the coast. But you instead of being devastated by change, you realize somewhere in there that it's all, you're being guided, you know.
It's happening for a reason, kind of thing.
Absolutely. And so I always looked at everything that happened was, I thought I could, we always think that we have so much control in our lives, but really, we're just being guided along.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? That's the hardest thing.
You can find a myriad of ways of making a plan, but the one plan that gets you there is the one you haven't thought of. So that's when I found myself at the coast and trying to figure out who I was going to be for the rest of my life. And what
had led you to? I mean, when you got this sawmill, what did you do when you first left? Did you go to college when you left high school, or did you study? Did you do any what we could term as kind of normal jobs first of all? Or?
After the fire?
No. When you were young and just leaving school,
because
that's quite a thing.
I just experienced that. I did a lot of different jobs. I basically was a business owner from different businesses, and from organic gardens and this and that. I just followed a path, I guess you would say, and it was just a learning path, the path that led me to a deeper place within me. And I think that's guidance from wherever it comes from, guided me through all kinds of circumstances to where I am right now. And
right.
Where we are at this moment is just, it's just amazing.
Yeah. But it takes so much courage, Jen, doesn't it? I mean, that being in that place of change, of having to trust, and it is all about trusting, isn't it? I mean, did you get any help? Were you reading books at this time, or were you going to courses, or what kind of developed that?
Well, it's just an inner knowing, and it's not, I did read a lot of books. I've read a lot of Deepak Chopra books, every spiritual book at that time. I got my hands on. I read because it was, continual little bits of pieces of understanding who we were beyond the physical being.
Yeah, right. So you kind of got that feeling and then started to experience it. And did you get into meditation or anything like that? Or
I did some meditating. I did everything that I had some of the people that at that time that came into my life would take me to places that, Camelus is an area that somewhat, like Arizona, it has a lot of energetic type things and areas that you can hear hum, and they would just open my perspective. So
yeah.
I suppose when you're faced with a deep growth, that I think a lot of people felt this in the year 2000 and onwards.
Yes, yes.
It's knowing you're safe as long as you know that you're being guided.
Yeah. And did you have family at this time, or,
yes, I have a daughter. And I have a granddaughter, and everybody, I'm a strong person. I think what it comes down to, I'm a little strong-willed, but I've always just had this knowing, and I've just felt safe. It's a crazy kind of thing to say, but I've always felt protected.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I totally understand that. I can relate to that, But I think that what I hear a lot of, it certainly happened in my case though as well, is when we do really start to wake up and follow a different path and go a different way, often it can really shake those closest to us because, there's big change and people don't like change. So did you have any resistance from your daughter?
Yes. As in those terms, when I wasn't thinking quite like that, but actually, absolutely, at the time when everything was shaking around me and I was growing a lot, yeah, my family, they were going through their own bit of change. And my friends, you know, either people are moving with you in a certain direction or they're moving in their own direction. So at that time, a lot, I ended up in a whole new situation. My daughter then chose to go live with her father. So
right.
I ended up, you know, like people drop away. You know, we all kind of, we lose a lot as we grow into a certain realm, and then we meet so many more people that are in our energy.
Yeah, like-minded. It's almost like a vibrationary thing is what I found, you know, in the end.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That I didn't have to get into being judgmental of personalities. It's almost like I think that we start to vibrate at different rates,
absolutely.
If you like, and therefore, you know, that old thing about, you know, get good vibes from this person, good vibes. That's all it means, really. It means with your vibrations at a very similar rate. I think that's what tends to happen. And those who are not at that rate just drop away.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of, you know, when you're in this pattern and life is changing and you're changing with it, you just kind of look around one day and you see that, you know, you're in this different space and those that, you know, were in that space, you know, 10 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever are off in their own area.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, you don't know, you know, it's kind of an amazing thing.
Yeah. And how old was your daughter, Jen, when she went to live with her dad?
She was 16.
16, yeah. So,
yeah,
so that must have been a massive, massive shift for you.
Oh, it was a huge shift. It was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking, but it was part of the whole plan, I guess, in this life that, you know, whether we choose to believe that we've been somehow we've picked all this before we get here, or however it works out.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know if you're familiar with A Course in Miracles, if you've studied it at all, but A Course in Miracles talks a lot about the special relationships in the human life are the ones that keep us stuck in not growing, if you like. You know, it talks about, which doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean you can't have these relationships, but the Course in Miracles talks a lot about transforming the relationship from a special relationship into what the Course calls a holy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
I think I will definitely look that up.
It is amazing work. I mean, I'm a great supporter of it, and for myself, because I found I was searching. I don't know if you could relate to that. I spent a lot of my years after I started to wake up searching and knowing I was looking for something, which I think that something is God, whatever way you want to think of God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I think the search is for, and an understanding of that. And when I found the Course, which was took me a long time to get into it, but as I shared at the beginning, when I did, I knew that I'd found what I needed, and you know, and what I love about it, it makes it clear it's not for everyone, and there's many, many ways to paths to God, but everything ends up in the same place, and that's what I kind of find today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when you had this separation at the physical level from your daughter, I guess what happened then was you were forced to go and feel even more, you know, go and look inside yourself.
Well, it was, you know, what happened, all happened within a year with my daughter deciding to go live with her father. I knew that I was moving, but I didn't know where. I knew life was changing, but I didn't know how. I had this awesome business, but everything happened within that year. My daughter went to live with her father to finish her last year of school, kind of thing. The forest fire came and ended my career at where I was at. anything that I had at that particular time, animal-wise, were kind of, you know, taken somewhat out of the picture. And, you know, I just went with this course of change, and I just kept, I knew that things were changing at this rate for a reason. And I just, I went with it. Even though it was all within a year, it was monumental. But I just believed, I just knew that everything was working the way it was supposed to work. And even if I couldn't quite understand why, I just allowed it to be. So the day I was able to get back to my household that was still, you know, in Barrier, I mean, I had sold my farm and my property a month before the fire. And, you know, I mean, I just was listening to, you know, this, you know, circumstances that were happening around me, these feelings and this knowing. And I went back and I looked at what I had and I took what was valuable to me and I left everything, you know, my bed, my lamps, my everything to all the people that actually lost their homes and everything they had. And I just took my valuables and I moved to the coast and trusted and just basically really believed that everything, the path that I didn't know which way I was going on, would just open up. And it led an amazing kind of pathway, but it eventually led to this business that I'm in now with Lisa.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, if you can. So I'd like you to just briefly explain how you came to meet Lisa, and then what I'm going to do, Lisa, is I'm going to switch over to you and do the same thing, so we kind of get a picture of the other leg, and then we can end up coming together and talking about, you know, what you're doing in the moment now. So how did the meeting with Lisa come about?
Well, I had, once I was at the coast and I didn't know what I was doing with myself or what I was going to do with the rest of my life, I ended up sitting next to somebody that was the executive director of this college, and they had a holistic program. And I just thought, well, this is kind of a bit of a sign. Maybe I'll check this program out. And I hadn't been to school for 25 years, so I was a little bit worried that I wouldn't be knowing what I was doing. At least I knew I was smart enough. I just wasn't sure if I was smart enough, fast enough. And I took this program, and one day I saw Lisa, and I guess energetically I looked at her and I saw a professional. I saw somebody that I don't know really all the words. I just knew that she was the one that I'd be doing something incredible with.
We knew each other from before. That's why.
Yeah. Okay. So you got that very familiar feeling that a lot of us get. And Lisa was studying at the college as well?
Yes, she was in the term behind me. So I'll hand you over to Lisa.
Hi, John.
Yeah, so, well, thank you for bringing me up to date there. And Lisa, welcome to the show, and thank you for coming on. And
thank you
for being so patient as well. Well, that was a just such a fantastic, interesting story from Jen. So let's put you on the spot now. And tell our listeners about a little bit similar, you know, where you came from and what happened with you, if you could.
Okay.
You've got the easy part now because you've seen the model, right?
There you go. Well, mine's not as quite as dramatic. I wasn't burned out of town like she was.
Thank God for that.
Mine is pretty simple, actually. I was actually local. I just grew up in Langley here, so and kind of a farm girl all my life.
So you had a very common already.
Yeah, a very common kind of family. But in my family, I was kind of the odd duck, so to speak.
Okay.
Kind of knew things were different. I was kind of drawn more to, had an understanding of energy, spirituality, didn't follow the typical Christian biblical. I was always so child that questioned things. I would, you know, when grandparents or somebody would pass away, I would get a visit from them beforehand. So I would always...
Wow. That must be something. What sort of age was that happening, Lisa?
That was around 8 or 9 years old. You know, just before the phone call would come, I would be up at the phone ready to let them know that, well, Grandpa just passed away. They're like, why?
Oh,
how do you know?
That's so
that
amazing.
Kind of a thing. And so I was always, you know, looked at a little bit differently. But it was never a strange thing for me, but, you know, I always got the looks, so to speak. But
yeah. So you felt you were different.
Well, for me, it wasn't really a different thing, but for everybody else, it was just not as comfortable for them as it was for me.
Yeah.
And so my view on spirituality and energy and connection with people was always slightly different. And I liked
it. Did that cause you challenges at school, Lisa? I mean, was that difficult for you in the regular, you went to a traditional school system?
I don't think really, except for the fact that I could sense things differently with people, so it made me just a bit more, I think, emotional, more sensitive. I could gauge people differently, so in a way, I mean, it's always a bonus, I think, in some ways, but I was always more of that sensitive child, I guess.
Yeah.
Still more so as an adult, too, but always kind of good. I kind of had a neat experience, too, when I was a teenager. Ironic, but had a bit of a drowning experience, so which led to an out-of-body experience as well. So I had the opportunity to experience what that was like before I came back. And
wow.
So I actually knew what it was like to be called out and then to come back
in. And what precipitated this?
I was 15. At the time.
Yeah, and what precipitated, what brought this about?
I was actually on a vacation with some friends of mine on the Oregon coast. And I was, you know how the water, the undertow is very, very strong. And I was only about 3 feet away from shore. But I couldn't get my air back. I couldn't get my air back. And I just kept getting pulled under and under and under. And I was basically drowning. I had gotten to the point where it was beyond the pain, beyond anything else, and I was out of body. I had left.
Oh, my God.
And I remember, the funny thing was, is being a teenager, looking at myself on the shore, thinking, do you know how stupid you look? You are 3 feet away from shore. Get up and move, because nobody is going to find you. And it was quite funny because I could see where everybody else was playing about 200 yards up because I had walked away from everybody else wanting to have some time by myself. And it was such an incredible experience of peace and of light. And I remember it being so easy to go.
Oh,
and
my God.
That's, it was just
incredible.
Great.
And at that young age.
But then going back and having the strength to go, you know, to pull yourself up, and it was a really neat secret to have.
Yeah. So I suppose that was a very experiential confirmation of your spiritual beliefs.
Yeah, it was. Kind of gives you that window that not everybody else has.
Yeah.
But it, you know, for all of those other people out there that do, it's a really specific validation of the extent of soul and spirit.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great.
Wow. And when you finished school, what did you go into, Lisa?
I followed the typical. I thought I did what, you know, being a farm girl and things like that, I thought I wanted to experience city life. So I thought it would be really cool to be just a secretary, just to work downtown Vancouver, that kind of a thing. So I became a legal secretary. I worked in law offices. I worked in insurance offices. I could type and file and do all of those things. And I hated it. I absolutely hated it. The energy in big cities is gross. It's claustrophobic.
Yeah. Yeah. And did your health suffer when you were doing these things, which was not in alignment with your soul?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it would say your health suffer. Just your spirit is not where it's supposed to be. You just know it's just not what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just not your soul.
But it didn't manifest in physical problems at the time.
Not that I can overly remember.
No. Okay.
But so, you know, I mean, after, you know, you do your typical stuff. I mean, I've got married, and after I had my children, I didn't go back, so I did daycare for about 8 years. And it wasn't until after I did my daycare that, you know, the universe is really pushing for me to do something different. And it pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed until finally, like you were talking about earlier, about the doors just keep shutting and shutting and shutting until it's like you can be the slowest learner, but until you pay attention, I'm just going to keep slamming
life
the doors.
Life gets tough, doesn't it?
Yeah, until you do what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And it was funny. Well, it wasn't funny at the time because it was actually very painful and hard, because until you start paying attention, it, you know, the universe has a plan for you. But about 2 days before Christmas, I shut my daycare down. I just had to stop doing it. Put a for sale sign in my front planter about 2 days before Christmas, sold my house, private sale, and moved my family in with my parents. And I went back to school.
Wow.
And the course that I ended up taking was, took me about a year before I finally decided, but the course I ended up taking was the same one that I met Jen at, which was at the West Coast College of Massage Therapy, their holistic program.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite a dramatic thing. So you mean you left your marriage and everything and just went back and lived with your folks, huh?
Yeah, it was just boom, boom, boom. Didn't leave the marriage. Just sold the house.
Sorry?
Didn't leave the marriage, but just basically just closed everything down. Like, had to close down the daycare and sold the house, and it's just for financial.
Oh, I see. So you moved with your husband and children into your family home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Just sold out for the finances and things like that.
Wow, that's incredible. So the two of you gals got together at college. Now tell me a little bit, if you could, about how you set up Quantum Bodyworks and what's it doing, and what are your aspirations, and, you know, where people can find you and all that kind of stuff, and how it runs, who you've got there.
How Quantum came to be. I would have to say Quantum is basically was Jen's heartfelt idea. When we first got together, she had this vision of having a holistic healing center. And as soon as we kind of met, she kind of had me at hello. I was just in love with the idea. And it's kind of been in the making ever since we met, and it's been kind of a refined idea. And I have to admit, since Mary's been here, it just keeps growing and growing. It's been great.
We definitely love Mary.
We do.
Yeah. Well, we all share something there, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
She is very special.
What we wanted to do was to create an awareness of alternative healing, and to allow a safe place for practitioners that truly honored their art of holistic healing.
Yeah.
Where the body, mind, and spirit could be cared for. And that is what we aspire to continue to bring about and to continue to grow and bring forward. And to have really true, authentic practitioners here, not just people that textbook learn something, but that honor the history of acupressure, of massage, of homeopathy, of all of the natural arts.
Yeah, it comes straight from the heart. You know, what we do here, straight from the heart. We have, it's never about us. It's about the people that come to us. So we operate here as a team, and we believe in empowering people with knowledge so that they understand. And it's amazing how little we know about our bodies, you know, and even how little our bodies are taught in school, even, you know, and the amount of knowledge that is, you know, that science is bringing, like quantumly understanding our bodies and our minds and bodies together. It's so important in today's world.
Yeah. So really, all your practitioners are very open-minded, working in integrity, authenticity, all that kind of stuff, and open and living their life in that way as well. I think that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to walk your talk.
Yeah,
that's right.
Honestly,
that's right. It's,
yeah.
I mean, when you work in a, we have quite a nice large space, and that's one of the, you know, when Lisa and I, the first day we started to look for a place to open this business, day one, we were shown the right spot, and
really?
You never think that you're going to find something your first day out, and that's kind of how it has gone with us, is everything that, you know when you're doing the right thing, it's just the doors keep opening, and you're just, sometimes
yeah.
you're moving faster than you wish, but you just keep going, and it's been quite wonderful.
That's amazing. And when you took over the premises, was it a big departure from what was done in those premises before?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we're in a place that it was an insurance company, and now it's a holistic, it's an alternative healing center.
So a real fear-based business then.
Yeah, it's got great energy in here, though.
It would with all of you guys in there would transform that. And how many practitioners do you have in? How many rooms do you have? What's the setup?
We have five very large rooms, and an open area that we have workshops or yoga, this and that out of. We like it to be open and not confined, so people walk in and they go, their souls come out, instead of being closed in. We have seven practitioners, and of course Lisa's a colon hydrotherapist, and she also does some reflexology, but colon hydrotherapy is her passion, and I'm very glad it's her passion. And I have job security here.
That's lovely.
She is the best. She is the best, though. She absolutely is. She has so many. She has people feeling so comfortable and enjoy actually the whole entire session. Although I shouldn't say actually, it is a good thing to have done. Very good thing. And we have a Mongolian acupuncturist. We have a homeopath, a counselor, registered counselor. I do the holistic massage and lymphatics and cranial.
And when you first started up, what did you do to get you? How long have you been running now?
We're into our second year now. We're just over a year.
Oh, okay. You're in your second year. Well, that's amazing because, if I remember rightly, Langley is pretty, I don't know, it's, would you call that the Bible Belt around there?
Oh, Abbotsford's the Bible Belt.
Abbotsford.
But, no,
okay, excuse my lack of understanding.
It's right next door.
I thought it was there,
we're the outside neighbor.
But I think from what the picture I'm getting, there's so much love in your organization. You know, I think I always say love is the most powerful marketing tool in the
Absolutely.
World. And knowing Mary is in there, and knowing some of the other people, Mike and Debbie, I know, and people like that, and what Mary's told about yourself.
Thank
you, I really believe that. I believe that if you have a business which you're running because you love it, and if everyone in the business loves each other, and they love their customers, and they love life, to me, it's a done deal, you know. There is only one way to go, is up. And that's the kind of impression, that's the feeling that I get from your organization.
Absolutely. That's been one of the, actually, kind of the neat things, that even though, you know, your first year is generally, your learning year, your year of, you know, kind of hard knocks and things like that. And we've definitely learned some really good lessons, but none of them have taken us out of the knees, so to speak. But they've been definitely your learning curves and things like that. And you know, even when times have looked tough and we've questioned things and stuff like that, we've universally been brought some fabulous people. And we've watched facilities that have put in hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to make these
To look the look.
To look the look, but they're not authentic.
Yeah, yeah.
Healing. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not running from. They're not running for the right reason.
To talk the talk, but not walk the walk.
And we're just we're basic, honest, honorable, and
yeah.
We basically the way we advertise is word of mouth, and our clients do most of it, and we're here. And we're still here, and we're growing every single month. And that is the best and biggest compliment we get from our clients. And the passion that stays here and the unity amongst our clientele and the practitioners is stronger than ever. It's
well, that's,
wonderful.
That's wonderful, and that's,
thing.
You know, that's really a model for other people. And like I said, I know from my discussions and conversations I've had with Mary, you know, she tells me constantly about the love that's in that building, and I can't wait to come and visit you and maybe do some stuff there, you know. I'm really looking forward to it. And you know, I have to smile because, you know, you were saying, how are we going to talk for this time? You know, I'm really sad to tell you that we're almost coming up for time, ladies. It's
well, we need to get our web page out.
Sorry?
Well, I'd like to be able to have the listeners be able to go onto our webpage, because I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what I was just coming on to say. If you could just take the floor and give them all the details nice and slow, where they can contact you, your phone number, where you're located, so that anybody that's drawn to you, which I'm sure anybody can do that. So go ahead.
All right. Thank you, John. First off, our webpage is www.quantumbodyworks.com, and our phone number is area code 604-533-7303, and our address is 20443 Fraser Highway in Langley. And you can also contact us at qbworks@shaw.ca, and that's our email. And John, I wanted to say thank you for the emails that you had sent me with the Society of for Childlike Citizens. We operate like from love and from that place of the inner child, as you know, just straight from the heart. So
absolutely. Well, I really picked that up. Is you know. It's been a joy having you on the show. It's been so easy for me. You know, I can't say that all shows flow as well as this. You know, everyone has different personalities and what have you. But I can tell you that it's been a real joy. It's the first time that I've ever had two guests on the show together. It's just absolutely flowed for me. It's been a real pleasure. And I think you're doing great work there. And I want to acknowledge you both and everyone that's in there. And I do look forward to coming down and experiencing it firsthand. It's really, you know, we've got our reasons and challenges why we're not physically at the same point at the moment, but I know that's not going to last for too long. So thank you both, Lisa and Jen, for coming on. And for all our listeners, you got that. I guess the quickest way is just to go to your website, which you gave them there. www.quantumbodyworks.com, and we look forward to hearing about your growth and about the fun you have, because I know that's very important, and wish you every success in your venture, and congratulations for what you do, both of you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you so much. Lots of love to you guys. Bye now.
We'll give Mary a hug for you.
Yo, yeah, do that, please. And some more.
You will. Okay.
Thanks, gal.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone. And we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.